an effective manager, task number 6, organizing. The example of Joseph. Genesis 39, verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household and entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. You get the impression that Potiphar had a lot of stuff. He had a lot of stuff going on. And what he really needed is someone to organize it, somehow manage it, keep track of it, make sure it was all running well. Joseph was an organizer. When he got thrown in prison later on, he did the same thing in prison. When he finally got out of prison and he helped the Pharaoh understand his dream, the Pharaoh put him in charge of all of Egypt and the food situation. Joseph was an incredible organizer, and people recognized that and promoted him. There's a tremendous need for people to take the complex, and make it simple. Daniel probably was a good organizer as well. Daniel 2, verse 48. Then the king placed Daniel in a high position, lavished many gifts on him, and made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon. So there's a lot of stuff. And placed him in charge of all its wise men. So he had all these people to manage and take care of. Why is organizing a key gift in the success of any organization? And why is organizing one of the tasks that a manager must learn how to do? Number one, there are many parts to everything. The average car has 30,000 different parts. Every car you see on the road has 30,000 parts that make it a car. Let me tell you about one part. My brother-in-law works for an engineering firm. I live in Michigan. He lives in Michigan. A lot of cars are produced in Michigan, in Detroit. And he works for a firm that makes machines to make parts for cars. And I was there once, and they were making this machine. They'd been working on it for 3-4 months. The machine ultimately would cost $300,000-$400,000 to the person who would buy it. And all the machine did, it was this huge machine, took up a room. All this machine did is make the part of the car that connects the visor. You know, the visor is the thing you pull down when the sun is in your eye, you're driving down the road, here's your windshield, and then you pull down your visor. And it's somehow connected, there's a tube and a bar, and I don't know exactly how it's all connected, but this machine would take the raw material, bend it, attach it, put this thing on it, and it did like 3 or 4 things, and then it just kicked out that visor part, and then just like an assembly line, it would just produce, you know, thousands and thousands of those every single day. That was just one part on one particular car. Every part on the car needs a big $300,000-$400,000 machine that's making this thing. So the complexity of everything is astounding. Number two, everything is wonderfully complex and must be simplified. We can't keep track of 30,000 things. We can't hold all of that into our minds. Success is in the details of things. Well, what is organizing? Just a little exercise just to help you think about what we're trying to do when we organize. We got an ant, we got a cow, we got a spider, we got a horse, we got a caterpillar, we got an elephant, we got a fox, we got a mosquito. What else have we got? We got a fly, one more I think, pig, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We got 11 things there. 11 is too many things. Okay, we can't hold on to that. We can't think about what that is. I suppose you could memorize that, but it'd take you a while to do it. we need to simplify the leaven. How do we take leaven and make them two? Reducing 11 separate things into two things. Well, we have animals and we have insects. So instead of 11 things we got to keep track of, we only have two things. That's what organizing does. You have a closet. You're going to put all kinds of stuff in it. Maybe you're going to put 1,000 items in that closet. If you put them in randomly, you're not going to be able to find the thing that you want. But what we do is we organize the closet. On the top shelf, we put all the things that relate to paper and pads of paper and things and pens and things related to that. Then we got forms on the second shelf. And then we have, you know, and you just take all the different categories and you stick them on different shelves. And so instead of thousands of things, you have six things. You have six shelves that have all kinds of things, but they're all related to each other. That's what organizing is. Well, where does a manager start organizing? If you're in a nonprofit, if you're in a church, or maybe you're in a for-profit business, and you're in charge of managing and organizing this company or this organization, where do you even begin? I think the best place to start is the organizational chart. The organizational chart is all the stuff that you do and the relationship of those things and who's in charge of them. So in a church, if you start writing down all the things that you do in your church, yeah, we have sermons, we have services, we have music, we have pastoral care, we do educational things, we have classes. I mean, if you start writing everything that you do, there's a huge list of stuff. You know, if you made a circle for everything that you do, you'd have circles all over the page. And how do you even think about all the things that you do? So I took our church and all the things that we do, and I reduced what we do as a church, our mission, everything, all the tasks, all who's doing what, into four. Our church does four things. And there's a lot of things we do, but I reduced it all to four. We can think about four. So here's the organizational chart. And you see there's four sections. One has to do with the worship service. We worship together and all the things related to that. We do outreach and all the things related to outreach. We do education and we do member care. Everything we do falls into one of these four categories. So it's easy to think about our church. It's easy to think about what we do and organize all of this because there's only four things. Now, let me zoom in on each one of these. I'm in charge of the service. See little circles around me. All relate to the service. My wife, Marie, is in charge of the music. And then around her, she's in charge of the sound. She's in charge of the projection. She's in charge of the video. We videotape the services and so on. So she's in charge. I'm in charge of her, but she's in charge of all kinds of things. And then all the other things that are related to the service, the welcome, the coffee, all those things are somehow connected to me. I'm the one that has to encourage the people and keep them going, motivated, and so on. Then my associate, he's in charge of the outreach, so any special thing that we do as a church. He's in charge of short-term missions, long-term missions. Anything that we do in terms of outreach, we have a farmer's market that is on that's on our property every Saturday. He's in charge of that. He's in charge of any special thing that we try to do. Anything related to outreach, he's in charge of. Then education. I'm in charge of the education. So on the one side, we have all the typical things that most churches have, the kids programs, the youth group. I'm in charge of the faith formation of our church, so things like baptism. We have we have something we call My Bible, where we get parents to give a Bible to their child, their first Bible, and they have to write verses in the Bible, and they have to present this Bible in a worship service. We have our version of a bar mitzvah, you know, when a kid turns 11, 12 years old, and there's a way to do that. So I'm in charge of that. I'm in charge of what we call profession of faith, where they have to take a class and they join church at some point in their life. I'm in charge of the marriages and the weddings. I'm in charge of anything that has to do with faith formation. I'm in charge of our programs, as I said, the kids programs. Now, I don't run all these things. I don't do all these things. I have a coordinator that does these things. But ultimately, my focus is on those kinds of things. We have what we call Pathway Church University, where we try to get average people teaching a class on something. We have people teaching pottery. We have people teaching how to ride a horse. We've challenged all our people to try to teach something in a year. Every person in our church, try to have a class on something, whatever you're good at, whatever you're interested in, but there has to be a spiritual component to whatever that is. And so we have average people teaching photography, all kinds of things. So we call those electives that people can take. And then we have our core classes, church history, Bible knowledge, those kinds of things. All these are taught by lay people. And so this fall, we're going to have a whole session of that. And so I have to get these people, the teachers, organized and when they're going to do it. Some of them are Sunday morning, some are right after church, some are Wednesday or evening, whenever they want to do it. And our goal is just have a class. And if only one person signs up, that's a great opportunity to share with one person. It doesn't matter how many people come into the class. So we literally have all kinds of people teaching all kinds of things, and it's really great. So I'm in charge of anything related to the education. And then my associate is in charge of the member care. You see, on the one side, we have a whole small group system. So there's a small group leadership meeting and all the different small groups. But then there's the counseling, there's the specialty groups, there's fun groups, there's sports groups, anything related to any kind of member care where we're trying to make a difference with members, he's in charge of it. So it's very simple. And then ultimately the consistory, which is our board, they're sort of in charge of the staff. They're in charge of everything. So it's very easy for our consistory. You know, we meet once a month, and then they simply sit down with us, and I report on the two areas that I'm in charge of, and my associate reports on the two areas that he is in charge of, and the whole church, all these circles. I mean, there's a lot of circles there, but it all is organized around four simple concepts. So how are we doing with our church service? How are we doing with our education? How are we doing with our outreach? How are we doing with our member care? With four simple questions, we can look at the whole church and all those many circles get reduced to four. It's a way of thinking about things, a way of organizing things in a way that you can deal with it. Here's your more traditional chart, you know, where you have someone in charge, and then you have maybe five captains, and then under that, all these different boxes. You can organize it this way too. We like it in this circular thing because it doesn't seem like a hierarchy. It doesn't seem like like I'm in charge. We're here supporting one another. The center, really, God is in charge, and then he gives us authority to do things. It's not like, chain of command. So we're in this together. But however you organize it, it just makes all the many boxes simplified into the few, and that's what organizing does. So you start with the organizational chart. From there, all those circles that you saw, we made a job description for every single one of them. What's a job description? Here's an example. The title, small group coordinator, summary description. What does this person do? They manage and take care of all the small groups. Tasks and responsibilities. So what are their tasks? Well, they have to call them, meet with them. There's a meeting once a month. What are the tasks? What are the responsibilities? What are the minor functions? Things that happen once in a while, but not all the time. Who's the supervisor? Who's in charge of this group? What are the qualifications? What are we looking for in terms of this particular job? What are the skills necessary, the experience desired, the working hours? How many hours is it? So we have one of these for every single one of those circles that you saw, and then we put it into a book. This is our church. Now, when we're looking for someone, we just turn to the page. Here's the description. When we're looking for someone, we publish it and go, this is what we're looking for. And so people know exactly what to look for. They know who's in charge of what. If they have a question about some area of our church, they can just look at the chart and go, this is who I need to talk to. It makes everything simpler. So you have an organizational chart. Every single function, every person has a job description of what it is and what it is that they do. Then number three, project management schedules. So if you're going to have a retreat, in some ways I had to learn management over time, because my natural inclination is not to manage. I'm more of an idea person. So I remember in my first church, it's like, I think we should have a camp out. Let's have a church camp out. Idea out there, done. I mean, that's how I thought. It was like, what else is there to think about? But someone has to sit down and go, okay, we're going to have a camp out. Where are we going to have this camp out? Someone has to research campgrounds. How's this going to work? Secondly, are we going to have meals together? Are we going to eat separately? If we're going to have meals together, what are we going to do? Who's going to buy the food? What meal are we going to have? What's if we decide we're going to have this kind of meal, what ingredients do we need? What utensils or whatever do we need to cook all these meals? So I know when we did the camp out, someone came up with this scrambled egg omelet thing. You throw it in a bag, and so you need so many cookers, and you need so many ingredients, and someone, who's going to buy it? When are they going to buy it? Where is it going to be stored? I mean, there's all these details. Are we going to have a program? Are we just going to show up in camp? Or are we going to have a theme, a verse, a little thing to work on? On Sunday, we're going to have a service. How are we going to do that service? Is it going to relate to the theme that we're doing it? There's all these things. We're going to have fun together. How are we going to force people to play together? Are we going to have some games? Are we going to have some competitions? What are we going to do? There's all these things that have to be organized and come into order. And so a project management schedule is like, okay, here's the next 3 weeks. Who's going to do what by when? That's what a manager needs to do. Someone has to get the food. Someone has to get the list. Someone has to get the games. And when are they going to have it done? Well, that has to be done on Wednesday. So you literally take a calendar and you actually put names and start dates, completion dates of all the different pieces and parts that make up this project. Policy manuals. We just started doing that more in our church. I was never one that was big into that, but what a policy manual does is it takes the work that you did on something. We have to figure out, how are we going to have a safe church? And there's all these rules, at least in the United States, about how to be safe and how, when adults are working with kids, you have to have two adults and all these things. And you do all this work. And then a year later, you have to do the work again because you didn't write any of it down. So now we have a policy manual. In the policy manual go all these job descriptions, so that when we go back to something or when we're trying to get people to do something, we have it all written down. This is how our retreat is run. This is how we did it last time. You don't have to start from zero. You just look in the policy thing and you see how something was done. My wife keeps track of all the services and what music we use. And last Christmas, last Easter, this is the order. This is what we did. So when I'm thinking about this year, I just ask, well, what did we do last year? What did we do 4 years ago? And, well, let's take some of that. Let's adjust some of that. It's a way of organizing and thinking about all the stuff that goes on. Otherwise, you have to keep repeating the work over and over again. Finally, time management. Time management is, what do you do with your time? Periodically, I'll have our staff actually for a week write down what they're doing every 15 minutes. Because, a week goes by and you go, well, what did I do? I don't know. I made a sermon. I think I had a meeting. And sometimes you have no idea what you're really doing with your time. Are we spending our time on the things we really want to spend our time? Well, Time management is a way to keep track of that. Time management is a way to keep track of your day, keep track of your week. Here's an example. You have the time on the one side. You have the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday on the other side. I once took a time management class, and there's all these things you can do with time management, but the most helpful thing, I'll just give you one little tip, the one thing that I got out of the class that made a huge difference with my own ability to keep track of stuff and not worry. See, one of the problems we have in life is there's so many things and so many schedules and so many people that want something from us, and so many, you know, this week I have, let's see, I have tomorrow night I have a wedding rehearsal, then the next day I have a different wedding to go to, and then the next day I have that wedding, then I have their wedding rehearsal, and then I have Sunday the whole church service. So I have all this stuff, all these things to keep track of. And, you know, generally when you're younger, you just keep track of all these things in your mind, but it gets to be too many. So someone will come to me and they'll talk to me about something. Oh, there's another thing that I got to do. And I just try to remember it. Or I can write it on my to-do list, but now my to-do list has 20 things on it. And as it has 20 things that are unfinished, I'm already getting nervous about all these things. I have all these things hanging over my head and I don't know when they're going to drop. And I think I have something Saturday. I don't remember what it is. So you're inundated with all these things. So what I learned at a time management class is when you have something come up, you know, there's something I have to work on. I have to work on this thing. Do I want to think about that? When do I want to think about that next? And so I will take that. I'll take that stuff that I'm working on. I'll throw it in a drawer, you know, drawer B. And then I don't want to think about that for 2 weeks. So I go on my calendar 2 weeks from now and I put do something with drawer number B. That's it. Now it's in drawer number B. I don't have to think about it, worry about it, do anything with it for 2 weeks. And I don't even have to remember that it's in drawer number B, because 2 weeks from now, I'll be looking at my calendar and it'll say, go to drawer B because there's something you got to do there. Well, what is that? I don't remember. But I just go to drawer B and there it all is. So you take things right away. You know, I get something in the mail. I have to do something with this instead of just putting it on the desk. I go to my calendar. When do I want to deal with this? I don't want to deal with this right now. I want to deal with this a week from now. I put it in drawer C and I'll just say, look in drawer C. And it's done and it's off my plate. So I never have this huge list of stuff that is no way I can possibly get to today. So my day is whatever I think I can get done today. And I don't worry about all the other stuff I've got going, because it's going to come back to me. Without me working at it, without me trying to remember, it's going to come back to me when I need it.